And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time. Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark. Brandon Vogel is in from Counter Reed, counterreed.com. A lot to unpack with Coach Rule and Coach Raiola today. Vogues, how we doing here? Are you watching a little golf today while you're keeping an eye on football? Thanks for the time.
I'm doing well. I didn't get any golf in today, but I'm hoping that's kind of part of the plan for tomorrow. So I'll jump in a day late.
Your take on Augusta. Have you been by there?
Literally just driven through the city itself. So never spent any time there. It's out there. Like it feels close by, from where I'm at, but Georgia's pretty wide. So it's not like a quick trip, over there. So haven't made it there. Spent some time in Savannah on that side of Georgia, which is, you know, as kind of picturesque as it looks. Mm. So that's about the extent of my Georgia coastline meanderings.
Our Augusta correspondent Brandon Vogel driving through Augusta. What's your feel right now as you kind of read the tea leaves with Matt Rule? And he's pretty direct when asked questions. Quarterback separation, offensive line, running back room. You have Montana Husker fan that chimes in with this observation. I feel like the fan base is suddenly sleeping on Emmett Johnson. But you have two Johnson backs. And Rule touched on, hey, dudes, watch the 2021 film when Ramir Johnson was actually used. And, you know, as you size up the running back room, aside from some protection breakdowns, as I read into it today, he likes where they're at carrying the football.
Yeah, the Ramir against Michigan in 2021 was a good poll by Matt Rule, because I hadn't thought about that. But I remember, you know, thinking like, well, kind of separated himself as the guy maybe a little bit going into 2022, and then he just kind of disappeared. Sort of similar, Emmett Johnson, you know, I thought showed some really good things at the end of this 2023 season. So yeah, to Montana Husker's point, like slept on a little bit. Yeah, probably. I think there's just so much kind of uncertainty there with guys who simply aren't available at running back. It's probably the most curious would be the word I would use position group, I think, going at Nebraska right now in spring. And we'll see how that plays out come spring game.
Brandon, as you forecast it right now, especially with that running back room, I was going to ask, does Nebraska, I'm not going to ask, I'm going to ask it differently. How important is it for Nebraska to have a 1,000-yard rusher in 2024? Because it's been a while.
It's a good question. And it has been a while. I think it's pretty important. You know, not so important that I guess one guy gets there, though that's what you're looking for is a guy who's good enough to rush for 1,000 yards. And we know that if that guy gets there, that's going to be on, if Matt Rule has his way, about 20 carries per game. He said that's kind of what they want their lead guy to be. They want a 12 carry a game guy. And then I'm guessing third is maybe 8 carries a game. If they run it as often as they did last year, I think if the passing game's a little bit more proficient, that rush total comes down a little bit. But I do really think they use that as kind of a tone-setting identity type of approach. So it doesn't drop off. Even if quarterback play is as good as anybody could hope here in the offseason, I don't expect the rushing piece of the offense to fall off too far. So getting somebody to 1,000 yards would be a marker of a pretty successful season, I think.
Brandon, can you name all of the 1,000-yard rushers that Nebraska's had in the past decade?
Yes.
Azigbo got there. Abdullah got there. That's it.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, because 14's the cutoff.
Yeah, 14's the cutoff, which is Amir's senior year. Mm-hmm. So Nebraska has been 5 years since their last 1,000-yard rusher in Azigbo. Mm-hmm. In 10 years previous that.
That is ridiculous. Well, something I wanted to ask you, Brandon, just kind of opening up the run game, and obviously it all starts with the guys up front, and it starts with the running backs, but how much more of an impact can that dynamic quarterback play open up your run game? Because obviously you're going to throw in more pass plays there if you can, you know, execute them well. But how much does that open up a run game? Because it just seems like every single time Nebraska played anybody, they could just stack the box and get whatever they want.
Yeah, that's the issue. And the only way Nebraska really had to alleviate that pressure somewhat consistently, I mean, we saw them hit on some big play action passes, which, you know, if you're going to stack the box, is basically what they're begging you to do. And it's up to you. It's up to the opposing defense to kind of keep their eyes right and not bite on it. But mostly it was through the QB run game was their way to kind of take advantage of that in some cases. So I think a more proficient passing game, which doesn't even need to be like, oh Nebraska's a top 30 passing team this year. Like just complete 60 plus percent of your passes. Like that would probably do a lot. They would be able to, I'd have to go back and look at the numbers, but my memory is, you know, they were really, really run heavy on first down. And some of that, I think, had to do with just you weren't that certain in what you were going to get when they put the ball in the air. If you feel a little bit more certainty, well, then you can throw on first down and you can run on second down. And it opens up so many more options. Like even if you're going to be really run heavy, if you don't have that complementary piece, it's going to be, well, what we saw in 2023, which Nebraska kept running it, even though it kind of got harder and harder as the season and those games are on.
Brandon Vogel's with us from Counter Read, counterread.com. Some spring football thoughts. Do you feel like there's a giant gap between team one and team two on that offensive line? Or do you feel like Nebraska has a plethora of options here that they're going to finish things up clearly in the spring, but moving forward here, do you like the pieces on that O-line?
I like the pieces. It's kind of hard to know what the gap is without seeing them a whole lot. But my reaction from afar is, no, I don't think there necessarily has to be a huge gap. You've got some very experienced players back with your top group. And that's good, but you know, we saw some guys come in late last year and they played pretty well. And I think, you know, we can talk a lot about Nebraska's sort of spring league approach and running three fields at one time. That benefits everybody in a lot of ways, I think. Probably benefits O linemen as much as anything. And that's an area where, you know, I think it's important to have, say, a 3-year starter playing next to a true freshman or a redshirt freshman. So I would be surprised if we felt like, well, Nebraska's got 5 pretty good O linemen, but they better stay healthy because after that it's a big drop off.
It's Brandon Vogel with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Some spring football thoughts. And Brandon, before we get your reaction to OJ passing away, which we're going to need to get to here in just a second, I feel like everyone's got an opinion that is not too kind to OJ, maybe deserved.
One word, good?
Yeah, good riddance maybe if you want to use 2 words. We'll get there in just a second. Last thought here, though, on spring football. Once April 27th rolls around, you have more interest in the offense or the defense? And this sounds like an easy question on its face to say, well, the offense has new weapons coming in, a new co-offensive coordinator. But at the same time, it's the defense that I think really raises the floor for you in 2024, where if they can pick up where they left off, they really get you a good chance to get into a bowl game. And there are some new pieces on that defensive side of the ball. So it might seem like an easy question, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Which side of the ball do you care more about once the spring game actually rolls around?
Yeah, I'll probably take the easy answer there because, well, and it's the honest answer for me. Like, I am more interested in the offense. And it's – I'm hesitant to do this, but, like, at this time of year, it's far enough out. Like, I don't want to just put, like, defense over there and be like, yeah, they'll be fine. Look how good they were last year. Got a lot of pieces back. They'll be great. You hope that's the case if you're a Nebraska fan. And I think, you know, they have the returning experience coming back for you to feel pretty good about that being the most likely outcome. What can the offense do? You know, and if the defense is that good, and it gets tricky in a hurry with spring game, you know, it's like, what are the coaches letting you see? But, you know, I'd like to see the offense come out and have some success against that group of guys, because if Nebraska's that deep on defense, it almost doesn't matter what the personnel is. Like, it should be somewhat meaningful.
Do you feel like it's pretty authentic quarterback race?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's still early enough that I'm not surprised. Well, I mean, the coaches and even down to the players, like every time a player gets asked about the quarterback, and almost all of them do, they're very careful to mention everybody, which is, I think, something that it seems like that topic came up. Is my opinion on that. So I do think it's pretty legit at this point. They're just looking for somebody who can kind of stay in control of the offense. We've seen some really good plays from everybody, you know, in the highlights that Nebraska shares. So it feels pretty real to me.
Well, Cotter dropped a little bit of a bombshell on us that his mother went to high school with Ron Goldman.
Oh. Do you have any connections to OJ?
OJ, what are your connections
like to
OJ, Vogues, aside from getting rid of his rookie card after 1994?
Yeah, I mean, none other than I also rushed for 2,000 yards once in the NFL. That was kind of – I didn't know OJ personally, but we're always connected that way. Now,
did you do that in Madden?
Wow.
Yes, in Madden. The thing I remember about that, well, I remember my high school teachers wheeling a TV in so we could watch the verdict. But before that, the Bronco chase, we were at a high school basketball camp in Lusk, Wyoming, Mike Leach territory, not where he's from, but pretty close. Just like sitting in a hotel waiting to go play like four games in, you know, 6 hours. Watching this craziness unfold. That's probably the part of it that'll always stay with me from that whole saga.
Brandon, who's the fitting choice to give the eulogy at OJ Simpson's funeral? Norm McDonald's now off the table considering he's passed away. He would have been the perfect choice, but
he would have. I don't know if I Cowlings, is he still around? I mean, he's kind of been in this thing for a lot of it. So that's probably what you got. I mean, I can't imagine there's a lot of people like banging down the door for that gig, but maybe I'm wrong.
Tiger Shark Diver says Charlie Sheen.
There we go. That's pretty good.
But yeah, I mean, AC will probably pass on it. Walter says Bill Cosby. Walter may have a winner in the clubhouse.
Chat going off per usual.
Yeah, we're off the rails here on the stream. Vogues, you take care. And CowderReed.com, folks can get signed up, correct, and get great coverage.
They can. Had another good week. Aaron's got some good stuff with the recruiting update tomorrow, so hop on over there to CowderReed.com.
All right, folks, thank you.
Thanks, guys.